The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 196. I'm your host, Tony Polanco. I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
What up, what up?
Brett Murdoch.
Sup, everybody?
And he's back, people, Mr. Adam Vail.
What's up, man? At first I'd say, yeah, it's good to be back for me, but there was bigger news of something coming back. Howard Jones. I don't know if you know Killswitch Engage. You remember Killswitch Engage?
Oh, he's back in the band?
Well, they brought him back because the other guy, the original singer that left and then came back, something happened with his throat. He has to do some surgeries and stuff. And then I was on Loudwire and I saw him jump on stage and he did some tracks with them.
That's interesting because I know they did a duet or something. Yeah. Like, remember, you know what I'm talking about? Like, they were in the studio together or something. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
They no longer had beef, but no, he was on stage with them. And supposedly they're doing some new tracks on the new Killswitch album. And he's going to be doing some more shows with them. So that's another welcome back moment right there.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. But to me, I'm like, Killswitch needs Howard. I'm sorry, man. That's how they became big. You know what I'm saying? But we ain't here talking about music. By the way, Brian is MIA tonight. Brett, what's going on with this man?
Brian is overseeing National Crumpet Dispensation at the moment.
Yeah. Man, it's always something going on in England, you know? All right, so let's just jump right into it, man. First couple questions here from Mr. Hashling and Slasher. They're both related, and we're going to answer your questions, bro, but you've asked us variations of these before, and we know you're the guy that thinks first-party games are anti-consumer, so just letting the crowd know that's where he's coming from. But we've explained all this at length, so we're not going to go over it too fully again, but we're going to answer your questions regardless. So his first question is, do you think that if first party studios for Microsoft and Sony were third party, could any of them reach the kind of level that Rockstar or other major developers are at?
Say what?
He wants to know, let's say, for example, if Naughty Dog broke off and decided to be a third-party developer, could they ever be as big as Rockstar or any other first-party studio?
Well, it depends on the IPs, because right now, doesn't Sony own most of those IPs?
Yeah, no, but he's saying it's a hypothetical question. Like, basically, he's asking, is there any first-party developer out there that if they broke away and became a third-party developer, that they have a chance of being as big as Rockstar?
I mean, Naughty Dog, maybe, but one of the things that, okay, you're missing a key component of the equation here. The reason a lot of first-party games are so good is because they're not third-party.
Yeah. Like, by the way, this is related to his follow-up question, but keep going, Brett.
Oh, like you can't separate the two. Like, and I know I've said it before. If you haven't read it before, read a book called Freakonomics. It goes into a lot of depth about what incentivizes people, right? And so you have two very different sets of motives when making a first-party game versus a third-party game. A first-party game has to be almost an evergreen title. It has to be something that is so good that it's going to attract people to the platform, not something that's necessarily going to release, fizzle, and then be done. It's not necessarily just about sales, but about brand reputation to the point where it gets people to buy into that company's system, okay? Third-party games are about pushing as many many copies off the shelf as possible, as quickly as possible, and then moving on. So you're not going to – the reason these first-party games are so good in the first place is because they've been designed not to be, you know, good-selling games, even though they are. They've been designed to be games that are so good that your friend wants to try it too, and it attracts you over there. So there's a certain amount of extra love that goes into first-party games because they're trying to do that. So you can't just separate them like that and say, well, if this first-person studio became third-person, like, or a third-party studio, you know, would they be as big? Like, well, they would probably stop making as quality games, to be honest. I mean, I can't say that for sure, but that's kind of been the trend so far.
Plus, a lot of the promotion that goes behind it, a lot of the added hype for it, that usually gets pushed more for the first parties.
Mm-hmm.
I really just want to answer the second part of the question already. But is anybody, hypothetically speaking, want to jump in on this?
For me, it just depends on the IPs. I mean, hypothetically, if, let's say, Naughty Dog left and they could keep their IPs, sure. You know, I could see it happening. I mean, people love their games. They're already established in that. So, yeah.
And they started off as a third party.
Yeah, and they started off as
a third party. Crash Bandicoot was a third party title.
Yeah. Anybody want to jump in on this? What any companies you think could actually pull this off? I personally don't think any of them could. Rockstar's on a whole other level, you know?
Yeah, I mean even comparing them to other third-party studios, it's kind of hard.
Yeah, it really is.
Dude, look what happened to Bungie.
Oh, let's not go there. That's a mess. Bungie stabbed a lot of people.
Well, hold on, Damien, that's not exactly true. He says the quality drops on third parties because the funding drops. No, third parties have more money at their disposal, man. Mm-hmm. You know, they have way more money to spend in first party games, you know.
Like Bungie.
Yeah, man. They had $500 billion, you know. Yeah. So yeah, no, it's not that. Like, it's just like, I think Brett nailed it. It's like they put more care into first party games. This applies for every company, by the way, you know.
Well, third party, it's like this is going to be everywhere. A lot of studios are just trying to get everyone into it. Like, this has to have like multiplayer shoved in. Sometimes like loot boxes, or I mean, hopefully it doesn't happen like that. But loot boxes and stuff like that, microtransactions. So they try to get the lowest common denominator with a lot of third party games.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I'm just going to jump to the second question. This one's more interesting, even though again we've touched on this before. Brett, get ready, because you're the guy that made the best point for this. So his question is, if console manufacturers make a large or majority portion of their profits through software sales, why are exclusives needed? Wouldn't it be more beneficial to port games to other consoles for the extra money? Everybody got quiet, because we talked about this already, man.
Well, I'm trying to think of the best way to...
Well, they need to sell the system.
Yeah, it's like, why would you buy a PlayStation if you could buy those same games on Xbox? Why would you buy an Xbox if you get those same games on PlayStation? The reason you have exclusives is so you could buy this specific system. And as we've said before, exclusives are usually the best quality games that you're going to get from that specific console. You know, if every game was on the same system, you're going to have a lowering of quality. Maybe not all the time, but there's going to be a lowering of the quality there, as we've discussed before. So you need this. I know you're the guy that says exclusives are anti-consumer. You want, you know, you're a PC guy, so you want all your games on PC. But, dude, the reality is, like, if you want, like, the best games, and if you want the industry to keep continuing putting out better games, you do need exclusives, because exclusives, you know, it's like competition. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if everybody's just doing the same bland shit across the board, no one's going to have any incentive to do anything special, you know? And that's what exclusives are for. And again, this goes for Xbox, Nintendo, and Sony. They put out... some of their best games are first-party exclusives, you know?
Hey, is Red Dead Redemption 2 anti-consumer? Because I can't play that shit on my phone.
Yeah, well, according to him, it would be. Yeah, on your phone, exactly. Yeah, you're right about that.
On your Vita.
Yeah.
I want to add this in here, too. So if I'm getting this right, the question is, if you're going to make more money with a third-party game, why would you focus on an exclusive to sell systems, since you don't make that much money from your systems? Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. My distilled answer is your monthly online fee. Right there. I mean, how much money does Sony make off of PlayStation Plus? How much money does Microsoft make off of Xbox Live? Those are two of their biggest revenue producers. And if that only happens when you are locked into a platform. So if they can get you locked into a platform, even at a loss to their system and a lower selling of their games, they've got you for your PlayStation Plus or your Xbox, which again is a huge portion of where they make their revenue from. So I believe that right there answers that question.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a reason why we have Knack 2.
Yeah. You know, and people bought the shit. Chris, what are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to get people in on your ecosystem, you need exclusive, content, and plus exclusives are tailor-made for the system to exploit whatever hardware advantages it has over its competition, right? Because if you have three If you have multiple, not three, like if you have, like look at PS4 and Xbox, there are x86 architectures. They're basically PCs inside, right? But they use some exclusive stuff like in their SoCs to make, try to beat their competition. They can't be carbon copies of each other, because then if you try to exploit the hardware, you get the same results. So an exclusive game is going to exploit the development on there and try to utilize the system and take advantage of everything it has. So you need that to sell the hardware, right? You show off a game like God of War and you're like, look at this beautiful game, and it's doing, it has feature A, B, C, and D, and this is why you should game on PlayStation, right? Or you have, okay, this is Halo 5 Guardians, and look at all the things it's doing. A, B, C, and D, this is why you should play on Xbox. Like those, you need those things to sell the system. You cannot put out a box. This was Microsoft's mistake with the X. They just put out the X and said, we did all these great things. And the hardware looks good if you understand what they did. But if you don't have anything to show it to people, they are not going to spend the money on it. And yeah. So you need those titles.
Exactly.
Like what was the title? And this even goes for the PlayStation Pro. There was not a single thing that was said that this is the reason why you should own this version of the console.
Yeah, no, you're right. They didn't have a game specifically. Neither of these systems did, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you could say, I mean, they were trying to push Tomb Raider as that, but that really wasn't it. There wasn't really like that one title that just said, okay, this is the reason why you should own it.
Yeah, and you know things are going wrong when the title you're using to push your new system is a game that's 2 years old.
Yeah, see, that wasn't working. So, yeah, it definitely needed something to push it, and I definitely, you know, and that's what helps the hardware sales, you know, those first party titles. And you know, here's the thing, you know, as much as you people would like to call this sort of stuff anti-consumer and all kinds of other things, exclusivity sells. I'm going to tell you this right now. The minute that you start saying something is limited, the minute that you start saying something is, you know, the minute that you put anything, put a wall right in front of it, that is the minute that people start wanting to get in. When you start throwing it out there all willy nilly, then you get that. You don't get that.
That's not a bad thing. Like, I want to put a pin in this for the simple people, because we seem to be asked this question a lot. So, like, let's break this down real simply and follow the rabbit hole for just 1 second, okay? Let's say that this is the simplest kind of business anybody can imagine, which is probably, I don't know, a lemonade stand, right? So you have two people. You have a lemonade stand yourself, and then you have all of these other lemonade stands. And you have a secret recipe because your lemonade is the best. It's been handed out for your grandma. You go out, you find special ingredients and everything like that. Like, your lemonade is the best. It's your secret recipe. But then Timmy from across the street comes over and demands your secret recipe because it's bad for all lemonade drinkers and bad. It's anti-consumerist if they can't get your grandma's lemonade recipe everywhere else. So, okay, that's usually where we stop the analogy. But I'm going to take it a fucking step further at this point. We then have the same lemonade recipe at every single lemonade stand. Everybody has the same lemonade. What is the next step when you're trying to attract people to your lemonade stand? You're going to put up bigger, fancier signs. You're going to hire a fucking model to drink your lemonade on TV or put out a fucking fancy-ass commercial. At the end of the day, when you homogenize the end product by removing all exclusivity, you just end up in this advertisement war, this war of just trying to get the biggest hype train going and be hotter than the next guy, which is exactly what's happened in the video game industry and the reason that we're here. And it's not – it is an either-or thing. There is no perfect world where we all fucking get along and move to our own separate circles because people don't work without incentives. So tell me, if we're not competing over the product, we have to be competing over the idea of the product or the advertisement of the product. So how is a world in which bigger commercials and more hype for a generally mediocre product is better than people competing with products to vie for the best customer experience? How is that better, and how is that more consumer friendly? Because it seems to me like all that leads to is a whole bunch of people flashing lights at us and carnival barkers in the street telling us who has the best fucking lemonade. It doesn't, as a consumer, now I'm not getting the best lemonade. I'm just having 12 people yell at me that they have the best lemonade. And as a consumer, that's not what's best for me. What's best for me is to find a product that I love and then go back to that place give money to those people so they continue to put out the product that I love. As a consumer, then I get the best lemonade as long as I want, as long as I bring the money, as long as I do my part, instead of this weird random world of just who can yell the loudest and everybody's unsatisfied.
Well, like even to that extent, like it ends up with having no reason to have three competitors in the hardware space. It's like, what's the point of Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft now? There can only be room for one when they all have this exact same stuff.
Then we would be in the VCR market or the DVD market. That would be that situation where these consoles or the video game playing devices all have agreed that they all use the same one, and now which one of these things is the thing that it doesn't even matter which one you choose officially.
Oh my god! But that'll lead to a monopoly. Are we actually having consumers arguing about the consumer advantage of having a monopoly? The entire reason we have anti-monopoly laws is because monopolies are anti-consumerist.
Well, the thing is, if we did live in a world where every single video game console was the video game console playing device, like whereas Nintendo was making devices and Sony and Microsoft were all making devices, right? Where would be the chance to excel? You know,
there
wouldn't be anything. Mario would be on everything. Sonic would be on everything. God of War and everything would be all on the same thing.
Nothing would feel special.
Then nothing would feel special.
Exactly. I think we've laid out a pretty good case again.
Jordan Devil Locker.
It's kind of surprising how the people who think third party first party exclusivity for titles tend to be PC gamers.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Including in this panel. I'm not going to say who.
Yeah. What are you talking about? Oh man.
To be honest, it's like, well, you know, there are things that are on PC that are not on anything else. So what are we going to say? That's anti-consumer too? No, it's not.
You never hear a single console guy saying that.
No.
I guarantee you no one's going to be crying about that shit when if Star Citizen ever comes out. I was going to say when, but you know what I'm saying?
You can't play the major, what's it called, God damn it, I forgot the name of this genre, but like RTS? Heroes of the Storm, Dota.
Oh, yeah, MOBAs.
The MOBAs, like
League of Legends.
You can't play that on consoles.
Yeah.
They're huge.
I never heard a single console guy complaining about that.
Hey, Tony. So, I've got beef with you criticizing Star Citizen. That is going to be the single most innovative game our grandchildren play.
Okay, so you believe it is going to come out? That's fair.
Our grandchildren.
Yeah, I know. I did get it, but Brett is still believing that it's going to come out. I think the whole thing is a farce. But you know, I could be wrong. Either one of us is right, though. Like, if Brett is right, you know, if the game is actually existing, we ain't going to see it in our lifetime. You know,
either that, or it will go down as the longest con in history. Like, yeah, of anything.
I think it's a con, but you know. Anyway, that's a whole
other story. How can you say that, man? They're selling digital spaces for the low price of $2,000.
And Mark Hamill is involved.
Man. It's like I said, like they don't need to release the game. They're making too much money right now.
I'm going to put a nail in this coffin. If Star Citizen were being funded as a first-party game, that shit would be done by now.
Yeah. Oh, man. Where's that Stranding?
Oh damn!
All right,
hey,
it's only been 3 years. Yeah, you remember the magic number for Kojima's 5.
Normal magic number for a great game is 4. Kojima, yeah, you're right. It is 5.
It's always 5.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, at least in the recent years, it's been 5.
Yes. All right, man. Let's move on here. Master Shake. So his first question is, I sometimes hear people say that gaming is ruined or currently on the path to being ruined. What are your feelings about the current state of gaming after 2017 and looking towards the holiday 2018 period and beyond? I am feeling very satisfied, excited, and optimistic about gaming. Interesting. There's two ways we could go about this. Do we want to talk about the actual games coming out or some of the bullshit going on in the actual industry that could ruin it? Which one do we want to tackle here?
I think it's the gaming part. That's the most important one.
Yeah, I think that'll be probably safer for us. Let's just be honest. So let's focus on the gaming part. Even though the other shit is, you know, that's what I'm more worried about. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, gaming is good. Gaming is good. You know, I still maintain this generation is not nearly as good as previous generations, but it's good. Some good stuff's been coming out. Some great stuff even. But yeah, I'm not feeling negative about it, I would say. I'm feeling like, okay, this is decent. We're getting some good stuff, you know? Yeah, I guess I'm mildly optimistic about it, you know? What about the rest of you guys?
Go ahead, Britt.
Long pause, and then three of us start at the same time. Okay, I'll jump in real quick. I think that we're starting to see the creation of more independent / AA game studios. And I know we've always had indie games, and they've always been there. But if you really look at this generation, the number of games not produced by AAA titles or AAA companies is increasing, and they're starting to play a little bit with more ideas. And so at the end of last generation, my big fear was everything consolidating and homogenizing into these, you know, we get four big games a year that are all carbon copies of each other. Thankfully, that seems to be being subverted by smaller teams and smaller studios bringing in experimental ideas that then kind of bleed upwards into mainstream games. So honestly, even though this generation hasn't been great, I feel like it's building towards a healthier future for gaming.
Carlos?
I think the biggest thing that sort of the biggest negative about this generation is sort of the disappearance of the middle studio, like the second tier studios. Like it seems like mostly all the best and biggest games are either sort of huge AAA titles or like independent games. And I think that's just one thing that kind of I look at the kind of detriments to this generation. But overall, I started this generation sort of negative about it. I wasn't really impressed with anything that came out, especially the first maybe 2, 3, maybe 4 years. I don't know what year are we on.
Fifth year now.
Yeah, so the first 3.5 years of this generation was super underwhelming for me. But it picked up, so there are things to look forward to. Unfortunately, or fortunately, this generation's kind of coming into a close. I think we can see the writing on the wall with this generation. It's like a lot of the games that have been announced within the past year or so, we can probably much bet that these are going to come out next generation. I'm not the biggest fan of the state of gaming right now, but I'm still optimistic. And in terms of sort of revenue and the money the industry is making, I don't think it's ever been better. So, it's alive and well.
Chris?
I agree with Carlos, except that a few major companies have made some major missteps, and I think that might cause a partial collapse in at least first party games. EA, I think, is the first one that will probably fall. I think Anthem is going to be a disaster. I think that they have hurt their reputation and their revenue potential with their constant greed. Loot boxes, which almost had a crackdown on the industry from a federal level, and a few countries have instituted gambling laws against digital sales and stuff like that. So I think EA has caused irreparable damage to themselves. But that's one company. I don't think that will collapse all of gaming. I think they'll collapse themselves with their greed and bullshit. And that's fine with me, because I think that gives indie studios and investment in indie IPs a better chance to succeed, and that companies will look to them more than just looking inward and then trying these like really deceptive tactics to generate revenue instead of looking at the idea and the game itself and the content to be the thing that people go for, you know? So that may be a good thing.
You know, the sad thing though about a lot of that stuff is that a lot of the loot boxes and microtransaction-y sort of stuff kind of started in the independent space, and these little tiny titles, they found that these things, they could, increase their revenue with
yeah,
the
but that was mobile. Like mm-hmm. that wasn't indie console but, games, PC games. That was mobile trash doing that.
But the thing is that it kind of taught the industry how to fuck people over. You know what I mean? Like this right. tiny thing, whether it was created by a little independent studio or some other mobile company, figured out how to get people hooked on this thing like crack.
Right, but it backfired. Right,
yeah. It all backfired when the games were 99 cents. That's why they had to do that, because nobody wants to pay anything more than $1 or $2.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can't pay $60 and then pay into a system where, if you spend, a year of college, you will get everything in the game or something like that. Like it just mm-hmm. becomes so ridiculous and so cost and time prohibitive that it's like this is just unhealthy for the industry. But in that case, now that the things EA has done has called attention to that, other companies have backed off of it, eliminated that kind of stuff, and adopted better habits. Meanwhile, EA, which I think deserves to be broken up because they're a greedy piece of shit, that may bolster the industry because the talent may refunnel elsewhere. Hopefully they'll get work and stuff, you know, because I don't want to see anybody out of work. You know, EA is just a giant dumpster fire that should be just dissolved.
Yeah, I do want to say one thing. I am optimistic about Japanese gaming. Again, I was watching that documentary that Manny sent us the other day. That thing is, okay, basically, you know, the Japanese were talking about how last generation they felt like they were lost. They didn't know what to do. They tried to compete with the Western developers. They didn't know how to handle some of these new technologies. And now they realize two things that are kind of obvious. One thing is like they realize, listen, we don't need to keep making these new engines. Just use whatever's out there and we'll get our games out faster. And the second one, even the guy from Yakuza was like, yeah, why didn't we just figure this out? Make the games Japanese. Don't try to be Western games. Just be mm-hmm. Japanese and people will like that because it's different. And in the documentary, they also said that basically they feel that in the West now, it's either giant triple A's or small indies, and they feel that Japanese games can occupy that middle spot. You know, mm-hmm. and also if you notice, you know, because a lot of the guys they interviewed there, it was Yoko Taro, the guy from Yakuza, Monster Hunter, a bunch of these guys, they all started the games that came out now in 2012. This goes back to what we always say. You want a great game. It takes about 4 to 5 years to come out, mm-hmm. you know, so I'm very optimistic. Like Western gaming, I'm like, you know, mildly optimistic, like I said, but I think Japanese gaming is going to really blow up next generation. I really see that happening. That makes me happy because remember, I'm old school, man. Japanese games were the things I grew up on, so that makes me very, very happy, especially now since Western games, I think we could all kind of agree to a certain extent, are becoming the same. There's nothing really innovative going on, you know?
Here's the thing to remember about Western games. A lot of them took inspiration from Japanese games. Games like the original God of War, that game was essentially Devil May Cry. You know, a lot of these games have taken from the Japanese games and took that further. But what happens when the formulas start to run out?
Yeah, exactly. But it's just interesting how even the Japanese guys are like, you know, they're discovering the old blood, like to use a Brett term, you know, they're like, yeah, we just went back to the games we liked and we're doing those type of games, but just modernized, you know? Yeah, so
that's it.
They found their voice. Yeah. They found their voice, and that's a great thing. So that makes me hope for the next generation that.
And they found an audience too. Look at the success of Octopath.
Octopath is another one. You can't even buy this shit now. You know, it's sold out. Monster Hunter, Yakuza. Why do you think we're getting 50 million Yakuza games now? Because they're all coming to the West. People want them, you know? So that makes me, like, next generation, I'm speaking just for me personally, I want to have more Japanese games on my shelf than Western games, like it used to be back in the day, you know?
And also, I also think that the Western society is a lot more forgiving to games that are just left in Japanese, or left in the way that, you know, left to be quirky and stuff like that, because so much of our culture now is exposed to Japanese stuff. Back when we were kids, it was really kind of rare. And a lot of the localization that would happen there would be things to more Americanize things. But now I notice that, you know, because everybody's so exposed to it, people watching anime and all kinds of other stuff, now people are a little bit more you know, receptive to those sorts of Japanese quirkiness, I feel.
Yeah, no, you're totally right about it. Think about it like this. The first two Yakuza games, right, they were, you know, translated and stuff in America. Those games, you know, they did good and stuff, but now the new ones came out, Kiwami and Kiwami 2 is coming, and they're doing really, really well, you know? As a matter of fact, I believe they're going to put the shit they cut out of Yakuza 3 back in the game, because, you know, the thinking was like, oh, people don't understand Mahjong, they don't understand this. People are like, I don't care if I don't understand Mahjong. Don't take that shit out, you know? So that's great. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Adam, what's your take on the gaming industry? How do you feel about it?
I think it's all right. I mean, it's all depending on what you play. You know, and if what you play is relevant still to you, then yeah, you're going to be all in. Like we talked about before, about people that just play sport games and shooters. Those still exist. Maybe they're not that great, but they're still there every year. So all depends on what you play. Like, you know, I like the open world games, specifically the Ubisoft ones, and those are the ones that I play in. And I trust them. So, you know, and plus there's some good titles coming up. So, yeah, I think it's okay. You know, and if not, then just go play the old shit, because there's plenty of other
you
stuff
know?
You haven't played. Or, you know, I hate when people are like, oh, well, you got to keep moving. What the hell? This ain't hip hop. You can enjoy the old shit. You don't have to move forward. Yeah, I thought that. They know it's true, though.
Yeah, you know, it's right. That's right. Yeah.
You know, it's true. You know, so it's like, you know, don't have to make throwback hour, and you could constantly live a throwback life, you know, and just go back and dust off that PS2 or Xbox One or the original OG and play some old shit. You know, you're not happy, go back in time. That's all.
Yeah. Great, man. All right. Next question from Mr. Master Shake. By the way, shout out to Master Shake, who's actually in the room with us right now.
Mr. Shake.
Yes, yes. So his second question is, given the IPs under Activision, Take-Two, EA, Konami, Ubisoft, and Square Enix, why do so many great IPs tend to come under such scummy third-party companies? Damn, bro. Tell me how you really feel. I don't know how to approach this one, so I'm going to just toss it over to Chris. or Manny, go ahead, since you started talking.
So it's like with all these companies having all these big franchises, and why are they scummy companies?
No, now? He wants to know, why are all these awesome games under shitty companies?
Well, they weren't always shitty companies.
Yeah, exactly, man.
You know, they
take over and shit and come up with their own ideas of making money.
Yeah, like it's a lot of that sort of stuff happens because of the industry. You got to remember, a lot of the same people are not running these places. The amount of money that needs to go into a game nowadays, back in the day, was not nearly as much. Mm-hmm. So that's why they're not sticking. You know, back in those days, they weren't sticking their noses into people's business because, okay, yeah, it didn't cost that much to make that game. You know. So it's like now it's like, you know, you have all these, you know, AAA game companies, they feel they kind of just push, they throw all this money on top of these games. And then, you know, they're looking for, you know, they're looking to have a say over how the game goes. You know, there used to be a point where, you know, there used to be just the game developer and, you know, the team that kind of dictated it. Now you have marketing teams telling them, no. You got to put an online mode in there.
Yeah, the thing you need to understand is, and this is a great point you got to think about, these companies, every single one of these companies that you named, they were not the same 20 years ago. You know, during the period when they came out with all these great games that you love, they were not run by the same guys. Bobby Kotick was in there 20 years ago, you know, as the main guy. So that's the thing. It's not like, you know, I don't know if you're trying to imply that they gobbled them up. No, they created all these IPs. It's just things changed, and now it's all about the money, trying to get these marketing guys in there, you know?
And then also look at, you know, you talk about, like, those companies that, like, that have kind of, you know, kind of shitty companies, but look a little bit deeper. Are the people that made all your favorite games actually still there?
Yeah. This goes back to what
people, money yeah. bet.
Yeah,
most of those guys are gone.
This is why people are always going, oh man, Sega needs to come out with a Dreamcast. You realize those same guys that worked at Sega 20 years ago aren't there anymore, right?
They're all gone. I mean, the guy who created Sonic
on the Xbox,
the guy who created Sonic's not at Sega anymore. Yu Suzuki's not at Sega anymore. So who's left, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, the guy who made Yakuza, but you know what? It's funny. He came through the ranks of Shenmue, and it's probably the reason why Yakuza is, like, you know, future Shenmue.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. By the way, this is a conversation for another day. I'm at the point where I don't actually need Shenmue anymore. I'm like, why do I need Shenmue when I got Yakuza? I'm just being honest, you know? I'm, the same shit I want out of a Shenmue game, I've been getting from Yakuza, you know? But that's another story for another day. I think we answered this question well enough, so we can move on, man. All right, next up, Mr. Figs, who I believe is a new name, so shout out to you, brother.
Yo, man, you like figs?
Yeah, man.
I love Fig Newton.
Yeah, all right. His first question is, Shadow of War removed all microtransactions and are releasing a definitive version with all DLC for $60 on August 28th. Is anyone giving the game another chance? No. No, just like with No Man's Sky and Street Fighter V, you lost your fucking chance. I'm sorry. Nope.
$60? That's still too high.
Fuck out of here, man.
Yeah. This game, come on now. It should be like $30 or something. And it's, come on.
Yeah, you had your chance and you blew it.
We're doing you a fucking favor. What do you mean?
Nah, chill. Chill. $60? Nah, son. I'm going to guess that's a no from everybody here. So
I never cared for the first one, so why would I buy the second one?
I love the first one.
I love the first one, yeah.
I skipped this one mostly because of that. The things like I read and saw about like you needing to pay in order to even finish the game and whatever. That store was bullshit. And then they dug it out. I was like, still don't care. That ship has sailed. And now they're going to make a definitive. I'm long gone, man. I'm way past you. I see Spider-Man in the horizon.
You know? You. Shit. Yeah, I dropped the game like a third of the way through. I'm like, I'm done with this shit, you know? And I love the first game. But I'm like, whatever, you know?
Warner Brothers thinking they can get away with some shit, you know?
Yeah, man. All right, let's move on here, man. Next question. Also about another Warner Brothers game. As a big fan of the Arkham games and Rocksteady, I would love Rocksteady to make another Batman Arkham game. However, the rumors are either a Justice League game or Superman game with WB Montreal possibly making another Batman game. What would you guys like Rocksteady to work on next?
I mean, the rumor is they're going after Superman.
Yeah.
They're doing a Superman game.
Can I just jump in?
Ninja Turtles? Yeah. Wasn't that what the other one?
That would be interesting. Can I be real, man? Do a new IP, you know? I know it's not going to happen. They're going to be some superhero shit, but I would like a new IP, man.
Here's the bigger question. Is Rocksteady owned by
Warner Brothers?
No, they're not.
No, they're still indie.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, can I ask a question that's going to sound like a dick question, but is it not meant as a dick question?
Sure.
Isn't not?
Is it related to this?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, man.
What do you guys actually like about the Batman Arkham games? I mean, I'll be honest. I abstained from them for ethical reasons, in my opinion. Fat lot of good that did me. But honestly, looking in, the combat seems very simple.
Did you like Shadow of War?
Yeah, I did.
Same exact combat.
Shadow of Mordor.
Yeah, same exact combat. Same exact combat. I'm going to ask you a question. The main reason is because it makes you feel like fucking Batman. No other game has ever done that. It captured Batman perfectly. And also, and not a lot of people talk about this, to me, it felt like a continuation of the Bruce Timm era Batman because it had all the same actors. It even had Paul Dini writing the shit. It felt like that world, but just like grown up and grittier, you know? But for me, it just made you feel like fucking Batman. Like, not only you fucking dudes up with the whole stuff element, like, you know, when you're fucking dudes up in the shadow and so one guy left, he's freaking the fuck out and you're just messing with his mind. I love that shit. The gadgets, the villains and stuff, the Gotham City itself, great game. Like, I still maintain Batman and Batman Arkham, you know, the sequel, two of the best superhero games and just playing video games ever. Fucking fantastic, man. I love that shit. You know,
okay,
they kind of dropped the ball a little bit on Arkham Knight, I'll be honest. But yeah, to me, they are the outside of Infamous. Those are the best superhero games ever released.
So not even necessarily because of mechanics, but like the trueness to source material.
Yes.
Well, the world
feel
building.
Like Batman. And, yeah, you feel like fucking Batman.
You know, with some liberties that they took over, they kind of, you know, at least made it make sense within the world of that world. And,
okay. Do you think they'd be able to pull off new look, like the flying and Superman? Like a lot of superheroes have really interesting locomotion mechanics. Do you think they'd be able to take on another superhero thing? Like, do you think they could do a Green Lantern game?
Here's the thing. Just thinking with Superman, if you could make a Superman game that works, you should be given a gold medal. Superman, you know, you guys already know Superman is my favorite superhero of all time. I don't think he could work in a video game. Dude,
the online was actually amazing locomotion mechanics.
Oh, yeah. On flying. But the thing is, if you're Superman, normal thugs can't hurt you. You know what I'm saying? They could shoot at you all day.
So there's so many story elements. You could even start off as a Superman game, like, you know, where, like, somebody's cast like a cloud in the sun so that, like, not as much yellow sunlight gets down. And so you're kind of, you still have all your power set, but you're not, like, totally invincible.
But,
you know,
but that's the problem. By the way, I'm glad you asked about this because I wrote about this. I'm like, that's a problem in and of itself, that you have to depower Superman in order to make him interesting. You didn't have to depower Batman. You got to play Batman as Batman. You want the actual Superman experience, but the actual Superman experience, I don't feel works well in terms of video game because you're already overpowered. Nothing can fucking touch you outside of Darkseid or Doomsday, you know what I'm saying? So even if you go in there and go, hey, we're going to depower Superman for this game, it's like, what the fuck's the point then?
Dude, I want to see a Quantum Dream Superman game. I mean, if fighting is irrelevant, it should be about choices, right?
Yes, and I'm glad you said that. And this is what I wrote in my article. I'm like, listen, since the combat can't really work with a Superman game, make it a choice game like a Telltale or Quantic Dreams games. That could work. You know, that could definitely work. Like, take combat out of the equation. You make it a choice game. That could be good.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, you know, you liked the Bruce Timm Superman show, right?
Of course, yeah. I loved it.
You know, in that one, he was slightly pulled down a little bit to give a little bit more drama to him.
Yeah, by the way, but the game based on that was shitty. You know,
because well, it was like, why am I getting the game based on it, but what if they did something along the lines of like what they did with the Arkham games, where it's essentially in a continuation of the Bruce Timmiverse?
Kind of, but again, like, does that mean every villain that, you know, because remember, every game has to have those, like, thugs that you beat up on, right? Superman doesn't fight thugs, man. They can't do anything to him, you know?
All you have to do is invent a kind of... I mean, even comic stories do this a lot, like, where they want to put him in peril, they up the stakes a little bit. So, like, Lex Luthor has a personal military squad that has kryptonite-tipped bullets.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, they all have
so, kryptonite like, all of a sudden... Well, yeah, like, no, they just found a way to, like, put it into metal, and so they forge that into, like, bullets and weapons, so you actually have to fear Luthor's henchmen. You know, you don't have to feel muggers necessarily. Maybe when
right, like, here we go. I think Excel just solved this for us. The main story is going to be some fucking magical villain comes in and like douses Metropolis in magic, and Superman can't work as well. Even that's still gimping him, but at least that's something, you know?
Yeah, they'd find a good reason to gimp him.
Yeah.
But I do want to throw out there, I want somebody to make a game with like DC Universe had a lot of problems, but the way that you manifested your power set in that and the locomotion, that was the only game where flying was ever right.
No, I agree with that. But before we move on, Brett, do you at least understand where I'm coming from? Like, does the fact you have to depower Superman already take some of the fun away from it, you know?
No, I agree with that, but name me a comic book that isn't necessarily a morality, Superman wrestling with morality choice. Name me a comic book where Superman actually has to fight somebody where they don't use some kind of story hook to depower him in some way.
Yeah, the only one says Darkseid because Darkseid is just physically stronger than him, you know?
And Doomsday. Doomsday, that was the whole point of Doomsday. It was like, nope, we're not going to find a way to depower him. It's not bad luck. This guy isn't enhanced. He's actually just that fucking strong.
Exactly. But I think the Telltale approach or Quantic Dreams approach could work for a Superman game, to be honest. But Rocksteady's not going to do a game like that. They're going to do an action game. I don't know. I really know. I mean, the question is, what do we want to see from them? Again, I answer my part. I want them to do something new, even though I know that's not going to happen.
Oh, the any game doesn't have to necessarily be a superhero game, right?
No, yeah, go nuts.
I want to see them do the Max.
Oh, does that'd be interesting. Yeah, man. Yeah, Sam
Keith. I think they could really do that and really just upplay the dropping back and forth between worlds, because they're good environment building and world building. I'd love to see them do the dual world building overlaying each other kind of thing. And instead of going into like, you know, the different, or going to the detective mode, you can actually like pop back and forth between, you know, the Savannah and reality.
Cool. All right. Chris, what about you? What do you want to see them do next?
You know, I mean, I wouldn't want them to take on Superman at all. I think I'd want them to do like, start more humble with like a B-list character or something. Like, do something interesting with a character that nobody thinks could be done well in anything. And I'm not talking about Aquaman. I want to see them take Booster Gold, man.
Booster Gold's the one I was thinking about too, son. Booster
Gold. Yeah, you know what? Time travel, right? And that is very difficult to tell stories around time travel and altering time.
Yeah.
That would be a good challenge for them. I think they could make it work.
Yeah, Manny, what about you? What do you want to see them do next?
See who do next.
Rocksteady.
I mentioned the Superman game. I mean, yeah, why not go with the Superman thing? Why not?
Cool. Adam.
Moon Knight.
That'd be a good one.
Direction. You mean Marvel's Batman?
Yeah, hey. There you go. There you go.
You know, but I was really looking forward to the Ninja Turtles when I heard that rumor that they were doing, because I thought that would be cool.
By the way, shout out to JD Gamer. He says just make it the original Superman from the 1940s. He wasn't that strong, you know. He couldn't even fly.
he could leap tall buildings at a single bound.
He just Hulk jumped.
Exactly.
Basically, he was the Hulk with laser eyes.
He didn't even have those.
No, he didn't have those.
Yeah,
he was the Hulk.
You got to remember that, like, that 1940 Superman, they just kind of made up powers eventually. Like, he just had all these goofball powers because he was Superman.
Yeah, he could even shoot little versions of himself out of his hand. It's crazy.
Nothing, in my opinion, is going to top the weird cellophane S.
Yes. Like, what?
Favorite Superman power of all time, because he's just like, oh, hold on a minute, I'm pretty fucking sure he can't do that.
And don't forget the amnesia kiss.
Oh, that's right.
Man.
His superpower is plot convenience.
Yes. I'm gonna make a hero like that now. All right, moving on here. Life and Times podcast. His first question is, and Carlos, don't you know, this is in the show notes. What do you guys think about a Nintendo scaring Emu Paradise and shutting down? If you want the answer to that, refer to Throwdown episode 196, brother. Come on, man. If you're a fan, you ain't watching us. What the fuck? All right. the next question here is, let's look
long
at...
Long time, short time.
Yeah, right? Like, literally, we gave you the answer 3 fucking days ago. Anyway, next question. Let's look at developers, publishers like... Ubisoft, Rockstar, EA, Square Enix, Sony, etc. going into the next generation. How will their games carry over if they are so busy cementing an audience onto a game where next gen is right around the corner? Do you think they will let data carry over and you just have to rebuy or maybe have backwards compatibility? We might end up with the same problems that plagued this generation at the beginning with lesser quality multi-gen titles. All right, I don't really know what the hell he's asking here, so let's try to break this down.
I mean, he did talk about, like, you know, like, I guess they're talking about new IPs, setting up new IPs is so close to the end of the generation.
Is he talking about, like, a Destiny situation, maybe? Like, let's say if we get Destiny 3. Oh, no, Destiny... No, Destiny's a bad example. Okay, what game is going to come out at the end of this generation that's probably going to be on next gen that is a multiplayer game? Do we have any idea?
Multiplayer?
Okay, let's say, you know what? Let's make it easy. Call of Duty, right? Let's say Call of Duty comes out. Call of Duty Black Ops 6, right? Comes out on PS4 and PS5. Will they be able to play together? Will you be able
to... That's up to Call of Duty, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
He said, like, being able to transfer... Here's the part I'm trying to figure out: the transferring the saves or being able to buy it. Like, if this is the, it sounds like there's some question here about backwards compatibility.
Yeah. And
for the most part, it's like, look, we don't get backwards compatibility. That's not a thing anymore. It might be more of a possibility this time around because we're essentially having standardized PC architecture and probably will as well this next time. So for the first time, we may have fairly similar architecture and just a mild hardware change. But I still don't think we're going to get backwards compatibility. I've watched for every console release for like the last, 20 years, I think, is when everybody's really been heeing and hawing about this. Like, last 20 years, every time a new console releases, they're like, are they going to have backwards compatibility? And the answer always ends up being no.
Except for PlayStation 2.
Sometimes for a while, it's yes.
Yeah, PlayStation 2 had it. PlayStation 3 had it for some time.
Yeah, had it for some time. PlayStation 4 didn't have it. It's PlayStation not coming 2, back.
Yeah, but PlayStation 2 always had it.
I know PlayStation 2 always had it. How old is PlayStation 2 at this point?
Yeah, about 20 years. So you're right about that. But the thing is, like, I think games are going to be backwards compatible. It's just stupid not to.
They have to.
Because it's the same fucking architecture. They have no excuse anymore. You know.
And you know, the thing is that they could also pull a PlayStation Pro and sell you up on a new console. Be like, yo, man, all your old games look even better.
Oh, yeah. They're going to do that. It's going to be a wanted
that. I don't
that.
Think he's talking about the big three. I think he's talking about just publishers. Like, look at Modern Warfare. Remember what game? What Call of Duty was it where you get Modern Warfare Remastered?
That was the space one.
Right. So Infinite Warfare. Could Modern Warfare Remastered crossplay with Modern Warfare?
No.
That's a good question. Don't know.
Okay, so it hasn't historically been done. You can guarantee it won't be done in the future. If they can nickel and dime you to get a remaster or whatever game it is on the next gen, they will do it. Guaranteed. And people will buy it. So Call of Duty is a horrible example because those guys will buy that game over and over and over again. And they won't do crossplay or anything. They'll shut down the servers and go, oh, we remastered it. Look, it's even better. And then charge you $60 to play the same fucking game over again. So as long as people buy into that, they'll do that. So if you're looking at EA or Activision to give you that, they're fat chance. They're not going to give that to you.
Yeah, JD says that he's talking about games like Death Stranding. He's right about it. Death Stranding is probably going to be one of these games. It's going to be on PS4 and PS5. So do you think, I don't see them going, hey, buy this special edition for PlayStation 5.
I don't think they're going to release two versions of that game. There's only going to be one version that's probably going to work for both consoles. Yeah. We're not going to have like we did with PlayStation 2 to 4. I mean 3 to 4.
Why not? They did it to us once. Why wouldn't they do it to us again?
I don't think they're going to do it.
To answer your question, Brett, because you had no other choice if you wanted to play the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, a PS3 game is not going to work on a PS4, you know? But again, you didn't have a choice now. But to further answer your question, if Death Stranding is a success, I think it's going to be, they probably will sell you the PS5 version eventually. Make that money, because they know motherfuckers are gonna buy that shit. You know, like if you buy,
they'll do the subsistence version of it.
Yeah, they're gonna
do that.
They're gonna
do
that.
They'll just do the cross release, and they'll basically say like, look, when PlayStation 5 comes out, you can play PS4 games, or you can buy it on PS4 or PS5 the same way you could with like Black Flag. And they're like, well, I mean, if you bought the PS3 version of Black Flag and then you want to play on your PS4, guess what? You have to buy the PS4 version.
Yeah, but the difference is you couldn't play the PS3 version of Black Flag on PS4. You will be able to play the PS4 game on PS5. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Understand?
And you really think so?
Of course. I 1,000% believe it. You have x86 architecture. There is absolutely no reason why these games shouldn't work unless they're being fucking assholes. And I really
Except
don't see them doing
money.
That. Yeah, they're not going to do it. Man, we may have to make a bet about this shit. You know, because that's how much I guarantee you there's going to be backwards compatibility on the next gen systems.
They said, that was definitely going to happen.
Yeah, and they kind of already said it too, Brett. So, you know what I'm saying? But they will sell you the same game again under, like Manny said, the subsistence version or something.
Yeah, they'll probably do stuff like that. Like, in other words, it'll be a version of the game that has all the DLC or whatever they have.
Yeah, but if you buy Anthem on PS4, you're going to be able to play on PS5 the same copy. I guarantee you that.
Buy Anthem.
Yeah. I don't know if we answered your question, bro, but there you go. Next up here, Black Metal Gamer. Both of his questions are about Sega. By the way, I think Black Metal Gamer is gaming us, son. He's asked us these questions before, but now he rejiggered them with just enough originality for it to be a real new question, you know? But let's get into
it. Yo, man, you plagiarizing yourself?
Damn. Okay. Okay. Again, let me finish this question. The first part of this question, you guys are going to be like, yeah, we answer that shit. It's the second part. That's interesting. He goes, what Sega franchises would you... This is for a second one. The first one is, what Sega franchises would you like to see the Yakuza team work on? He says he wants to see Streets of Rage, but with the Yakuza team.
Well, that might be cool.
Yeah, I'm down with that. It's funny he mentioned that because when I was playing Yakuza 0, I was like, this shit is Streets of Rage, man. Fuck. I'm just running around beating the shit out of people. You know? Hey, I got one for you, man. I want Yakuza team to work on Shenmue.
Oh, you bastard. I was going to say that.
Oh, man.
Yo, man, he should call him up. Be like, yo, how you do this?
Yeah. All right.
Sonic.
Why not? Yeah, Sonic. Like, he's going to be walking down the street.
Hey, man, we might get a good 3D Sonic game.
The true life of Sonic.
Just beating people up.
He speaks Japanese, only Japanese.
Yeah. Any other ones?
And claws and looks like the original Sonic.
Yeah, I got one.
Go ahead.
Have the Yakuza team do an Altered Beast game.
Ooh, damn!
Another beat 'em up.
That's, I got it.
They'll have side missions.
Have Naughty Dog bring back Getting Up, Mark Echo's game, and have him run around and do that. That'd be fun. And like an Uncharted feel.
Yeah. All right. Any other games?
Yakuza team. Yeah. To be honest, it seems like we're constantly getting the Yakuza team to essentially make old beat 'em up games.
Yeah, I was gonna say Golden Axe now.
Games that are very similar to what they currently make. I'm gonna go on a limb. I'm gonna say Panzer Dragoon.
Ooh, damn! You went totally left field.
I want to see them do something.
Yeah. We're playing to their strengths. So I don't want them to go off the rails. I don't want to be like, I want to see them make Phantasy Star, because I don't know if they can make a big RPG.
Exactly. It'll be like, Phantasy Star, and then just beat the shit out of everybody.
Go in a cave and punch everything.
Mm-hmm. I got one. I like their slice of life mechanics, so I'd like to see them reboot Secret of Evermore.
Was that Sega originally?
No, it was not. And I'm being totally sacrilegious right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was about to say, wait, what?
Yeah, I don't know, Square game.
Yeah, but think about it. Well, I'm going out on a limb here. I can do that. But think about it. That game was based around the same place, shifting through different kind of time period worlds. So if you do that same kind of slice of life thing, but like one day it was a steampunk city, and the next day it was like a cave city, and the next day it was a futuristic city.
I gotta go back and play that game. I don't remember shit.
Secret of Evermore. It was almost like a Zelda type game, and it was you with your dog, and you just transferred. Like you started in like this kind of tribal thing where your dog was a wolf and you had a bone, and then you know everything turned like Roman gladiator kind of thing, and your dog was a fucking poodle, and then everything turned weird sci-fi, and your dog was like this mechano dog.
All right, you want to challenge them? You know, it was Sega had a Zelda like game. I think. Secret. Was it called Alundra?
I thought it was I thought the Legend of Oasis or something like that.
No. Beyond Oasis and all that stuff was just an RPG. Mm-hmm. Alundra was like Zelda, because Zelda doesn't have deep RPG elements. Oasis did, where you have a character sheet and all the specs and all that shit. And you know, Zelda's a lot simpler than that. You know, you don't level up or anything. You get items and weapons or whatever. Alundra was like that. So, and I think that was Sega. So if they could do something like that, that would be interesting.
Shadowrun?
Was that Sega?
Is that Sega?
There was a Shadowrun on Sega.
Yeah, but it wasn't Sega. Remember, the specific question is, what's Sega IP?
Oh, I missed that part. My bad.
Yeah.
Is Golden Axe into a Sega IP?
Yeah, man. Yeah, bring that shit back.
Yeah, I mean,
there's another beat 'em up.
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy
Taxi. It has side missions and everything.
Crazy Taxi.
You beat people up with cars. Oh, man. All right, let's move on here. Okay. With Sega saying they want to bring back more franchises from the past, what games would you like to see? And would you want them to be modern AAA or retro like Sonic Mania? That's the hook where it's different, you know? Because we answered the first part a million times already, brother.
I think with like a game like Street Rage, you could actually go either or.
Yeah, you can.
Like if you were able to kind of take that, you know, that sort of, you know, make a really good like beat 'em up engine, you know, with that stuff, you think you could work it with a third like a 3D type of game. But it would also be fun if they came back with an old school one, right?
Yeah, like an old school Streets of Rage would be fantastic, you know,
with the 90s techno music and everything.
Yeah, hey Chris, man, there you go. Beyond Oasis, man, how do you want that to come back? Old school, AAA.
Old school, because I believe that's just Octopath has proved that's a hole that needs to be filled. Like people want good quality RPGs, but I don't need it to look like Final Fantasy 13 or whatever or 15, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need like the
hyper-realistic
Final Fantasy going on. I can do with like it looking old school. And then I would love, but one thing I would love to see a kind of a AAA version take on something that Sega hasn't touched in 25, maybe 30 years is Alex Kidd.
Oh,
bring that back. He hasn't been around since Master System, right? And he was the mascot for Sega.
That's then. Right. Yeah, a lot of people forget that. They're like, oh, yes, Sonic's his mascot. Before Sonic was Alex Kidd, you know? And I feel he hasn't gotten his shine. You know, those games were a little rough around the edges, to be fair, but I think they could bring him back, you know?
Yeah. If you brought him back in a big, like, RPG, but, like, triple A, that shit, like, remodel Alex Kidd, design him, design his world, like, all that shit, or make him go between the different Miracle World and Techno World and all the shit he used to do, that would be awesome.
Yeah. By the way, shout out to JD Gamer. This guy's obviously a Sega head. I love that shit. He says he wants Skies of Arcadia back. I guess AAA, right?
We'd all love that, man.
Hell yeah. Chameleon Band!
If they did Skies of Arcadia, like, just totally remade, that would be kind of...
That'd be nuts. Yeah, Kid Chameleon, Alex Kidd. Okay, he says Alex Kidd would revamp modern mechanics. Yeah, because, again, I didn't really like the mechanics of the Alex Kidd. It was too floaty. But there was a good game in there. It's just, you know, the controls were a little weird for me. That would be great. And like we said, Streets of Rage, Panzer Dragoon, people, you already know, son. And I'm not talking about, like remake the old ones. You bring that shit back, like, fully bring it back, you know? Oh, my God. Like, and it'll combine both the Panzer Dragoon and Saga games, you know? So it'll be an RPG, but it'll be, like, when you're in combat, it's more freeform and stuff. Oh, my God. I would slap somebody, man.
What if you took all three Panzer Dragoon games and just made this one big epic RPG?
Yeah, because remember in Saga, like, the battles were turn-based, right? And mm-hmm. even though I love that stuff, I think it would be cool if they were actually live-time battles, you know, like real-time battles and stuff. You know, like the normal Panzer Dragoon, but without the on-rail shit. Holy, I'm about to nut myself right now just thinking about this shit. Holy crap. Yeah, Saga, there's my answer. Say, bring back Panzer Dragoon, man. I'll slap somebody. Jet Set Radio, are you kidding me? Bring that shit back too, son. He says, bring it back with a Dragon Ball Z Fighters style.
That was kind of what they were already going for, kind of a cel-shaded look.
Yeah,
already.
Man.
I mean, it would. In general, I'd like to see more stylized sorts of games.
Yo, it'll look the same, but better.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what else? Adam, I'm looking at you, man. What do you want Sega to bring back?
Well, that was what I said, Crazy Taxi.
Crazy, but what? So how would you want it? You want it to be...
I want a story. I want a story on each Crazy Taxi driver. The guy with the afro,
yes,
the hipsy. I want all of them to have some crazy backstory, you know? And I think that'd be fun, you know? Because that's one thing it was missing. It was like, all right, so I'm running around. I'm dropping people off. I'm doing crazy stuff, you know, whatever. But add a crazy story to Crazy Taxi. You know, think about it. That's sort of what Rockstar did with GTA. It was like you were just running around stealing cars and farting, and then they were like, what if we add a real story to this?
Yeah, what's going on, Paul? Power Stone was a Capcom game.
Capcom.
Brett, what about you? Yes, I agree with that.
sorry, I just muted myself. What Sega games do I want to see rebooted?
Yeah, and okay, what Sega games do you want to bring back, and do you want them to be done AAA style or like Sonic Mania style?
I want Shadowrun to be brought back in AAA style.
Hmm.
But I'm kind of...
Not a Sega game.
Yeah, is that a Sega game?
No.
I got to look this up.
Sega.
I'm still trying to figure out a good... so long back in the day, I'm actually having to look up what were the Sega games. And
I know what Brett wants brought back. I know deep in his heart he wants Echo the Dolphin.
Yeah,
brought back as a AAA title.
That is a lie. And
come on, man, Echo is important, man.
Yo,
Tony's man. Like, no,
no, fuck that shit.
Was Kid Chameleon first party?
Yes, Kid Chameleon there was our second title.
Yeah.
I would like to see a revamped AAA Kid Chameleon. Ooh. Because the idea behind that was fucking awesome.
Hold on, my man just said Burning Rangers, man. Bring that shit back. And Zaxxon? There you go. Yeah, but Burning Rangers, that was a good game too, but it came out at the ass end of the Sega Saturn, man. Like, it was a limited run too, you know? That was, I believe that was the last first-party game that came out for a Sega Saturn, you know? That shit was crazy. All right, man, let's move
Virtual on.
Virtual on. Virtual. Aren't they bringing that shit back, though? I think they are.
There was one, but I don't know if it's been announced for the States, see?
Yeah, but it is coming, though. I know that. I know they got a new Virtual on. Yes, it was.
My big one, which was Jet Set Radio.
Yeah, there you go. Bring that shit back. Yeah. All right, man. Moving on here to Spacey's Pleasure Yacht. So his first question is, what are some of the dumbest bosses you ever played in a video game? Or, you know, what are the dumbest bosses in games? He says, Bed of Chaos and Dark Souls for me. Okay. Yeah, this is a tough one.
There was a boss in Conqueror's Bad Fur Day. It was like fucking just like a pile of shit.
Oh, the big giant pool.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was awesome.
And he sang yeah. like opera.
Yeah, funny. So it's like it's dumb, but it's fucking funny.
That guy was awesome. I want another Conqueror's.
I'm trying to think.
The one I could that just came to my mind was, and it's not even an old school game, the final boss. No, it wasn't a final boss, it was the mid boss in Prototype. That was such a horrible fight. It takes you an hour to beat this thing, you know, because it keeps throwing all these projectiles at you. The projectiles don't actually hurt you, but it prevents you from getting up close to it. So it just takes forever. Ugh, shitty boss. Remember, I got the platinum for this game, so I had to fight this thing like a bunch of times, you know. Horrible Damn. Boss, you know.
I got one that probably doesn't count, but I'll say it anyway. Ninja Gaiden. There was a point in which you fought a tank and then fought two tanks and then fought an Apache helicopter. And I qualify that as one boss because there is no checkpoint or save system or anything between this shit. You just fight a tank and you're like, oh my God, thank God that's over. And then two tanks come out. Like, holy shit. You barely beat me. Like, oh my God, thank God that's over. And then the fucking Apache helicopter comes out and just starts shooting missiles on you or at you. And
I remember that bullshit.
And then you have to go back to the point where you're like, oh, now I have to fight the first fucking tank again. So the combination of all those as one fucking boss was retarded and pisses me off to this day.
So stupidest bosses, huh?
Yes.
Or does he mean literally stupid? Because you could just
I think he just means
the Bed of Chaos to basically fall off a cliff and die.
Well, maybe that's what he means. Maybe he means like actually like mentally bereft.
Silly bosses, yeah.
No, I mean, because he said Bed of Chaos, and that's, I guess, a dumb one, like actually dumb. Like maybe bad AI, maybe that's what he means.
Yeah, Bed of Chaos, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong here, but that's the one where you can run into the fight, run back to the beginning of the fight, and it'll just fall off a cliff.
No, the Bed of Chaos is just a giant tree-looking thing, and he swings.
Oh, no, that is. What's... Floor. That's right. Which is the one? I guess that's irrelevant. Okay, so he does mean like.
I think the Iron Golem will do that shit. Will fall off a cliff. Yeah, I don't think he means bad. I think he means just bad boss experience where it's like either too easy to beat or it's just like, you know, it's just a ridiculous fight. I remember in Contra Hardcore, there's a joke boss that's like playing this weird remix of Castlevania while you fight him, and he has the whip. And he throws, instead of axes, he throws fish at you. And it's a ridiculous fight. You get a silly ending when you beat him, but he's like just meant to be stupid, you know?
I got
one. He's really easy to beat.
I got one. Fucking Satan in Castlevania Lords of Shadow. Where did Satan come from? This guy just shows up out of nowhere. He's your final boss. There's some Ikaruga shit going on with the background.
Yes.
Dumb. Where did he come to the story? There was nothing in the story said Satan is this, that, or anything. Nothing about Satan whatsoever, and all of a sudden, Satan's the final boss. What? Yeah. stupid. All right, what else, guys? Come on.
It's Satan in a black cloud.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to do like what
Dante's Inferno
did.
Yeah.
he's letting it all hang out, man.
Yeah, man.
Let's see. Silliest bosses. You know, I'm going to go to Spider-Man 2 with Mysterio, but he was a total joke boss. So, like, you know, where you go, like, in Spider-Man 2, what happens is that he goes and he's like, you know, Mysterio's there, right? And he goes and fights him at this, like, convenience store. And then when you go meet him, like, you see he stands right in front of you, and you see all of his, like, bars go, like, up, like, 1,000 times. And you're like, holy shit, this is going to be the craziest fight ever. And then you just punch him once, and he goes flying across the room.
Yeah, I remember that. Polygon says the sorrow from Metal Gear Solid 3. But it would have question mark, though. I mean, it wasn't really much of a boss fight. You're kind of just going forward and dodging souls, you know?
And if you didn't kill anybody, you're just walking.
You don't see anything. And you could easily come out of that battle immediately just by drowning yourself. You don't even need to get to the end.
Yeah, that's right.
if you want to speed run it.
Yep. All right, Adam, what about you, man?
Oh, damn. I it's tricky because, I mean, there's a lot of games and sometimes it's just glitched that they're dumb. You know, shit. I don't know. This is a tricky one.
I'll go.
Yeah, it really is, man. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
I think I mentioned this like every other friggin' show, but Devil May Cry 4, man. They just reused bosses at the end.
Every boss in the game.
Every game except one that I know. Remember, it was Gears of War, General Ram. You never came across him until the end.
Yeah, General Ram. He was kind of cool, though. I like General Ram.
Yeah.
I thought General Ram was kind of dumb. Because it was just like, it looked like a big version of the, it was in Gears of War 1, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, he's just like a big version of the thing. And I'm like, wait, that's it? It's that? That's it? The thing that was chasing us?
He had the Locust crew with him, you know?
Yeah.
The fight was annoying, though, but I still liked him. Yeah, I thought. Here's the thing. Mechanically, I didn't like that fight. I felt it was cheesy, but I liked General Ram, if that makes any sense. You know? Like, I thought he was a cool character. Oh, well. All right, let's move on, man. Next question. What are your thoughts on the gameplay reveal footage of Doom Eternal and Red Dead Redemption 2? Well, for Red Dead Redemption 2, you could refer to Throwdown Episode 196. We gave a full rundown of that. But now me and Chris are going to gush about Doom Eternal, man. Oh, my motherfucking God. I'm so hyped. I can't wait for this shit. This is crazy, man. Oh, Chris, go ahead, man. I got to collect my thoughts right now.
I love that they made it look better. There's a couple of new weapons in there. They added like a crossbow type of thing. It's like he's like holding a mini ballista and it just like explodes the guys, you know. They gave him added visceral kills where he goes up and he punches. I love it. The Cyclops thing. They added another one.
Yeah,
the floating Cyclops orb, and he sticks his freaking knife through its mouth and pokes its eye out, and the thing freaks out and runs away before it blows up. Yo, I mean, it was awesome. Like just to see how he was like brutally murdering these demons, and he has a grappling hook now,
so he can grapple
at guys and just fuck them up. Oh, dude, I was like, oh, this is amazing. I can't wait.
Yeah, no, that's like, yeah, man, it's like, and then it was a release, they said 2019, but yeah, all that shit, like the maneuverability, because remember, Doom Guy in the first game, he didn't really run, he just killed shit, you know, he was like Jason almost, you know, just doom, 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 killing, but now he's like fucking flying around, running and shit, the weapons are crazy, oh my God, give me this game right now, I can't fucking wait, you know? So yeah, that's my thoughts. What about the rest of you guys? What'd you think of Doom Eternal?
I haven't seen the trailer yet.
Oh no.
It looks good. I mean, it just looks like Doom, but
yeah, more Doom.
Yeah, just more Doom, like turned up a notch.
Yeah, but fucking better.
Better, man.
So is it the same game or is it a sequel?
No, it's Doom. Yeah, it's a sequel. It's a full sequel. Yeah. And if for the old school guys, you know what they're reminding me of, Chris, I know you could vouch for this. Hell, Doom 2, Hell on Earth. It like all that shit is on Earth now. You know, Hell is on Earth.
Yeah, he comes back to Earth and everything's all fucked up.
Yeah, my favorite part of the trailer was when the Doom Slayer is walking around a space station and all the humans are like, they're fucking scared.
No, they give him space, man, and he takes the guy's card around his neck, and the guy's on a wheelie chair, and he wheels him to the card holder and reads it. And the guy's just sitting still, like, oh shit, don't piss this guy off. Yo, and the Marine who had the gun, and he just looks at him and looks at the gun, and he just takes it. Yes. I was like, yo, this guy's so badass. Everybody's shitting their pants when you walk by.
Yeah, the two Marines were like, what? Let him pass? All right, let him pass. But yeah, that was cool because you never seen the Doom Slayer around humans before. So they're all like, oh shit. And they're like, yo, that's him.
Yeah. Yo, and there's like an anti-Doom Slayer.
Ooh, man, this game's going to be fucking insane, man. You guys already know Doom 2016 was my favorite game of like the FPS game since the first Doom, you know? So this shit looks even better than that. Oh my God. Oh, give me that shit. Give me that shit right now, you know. Anybody else? People talking about Rage. I don't care about Rage. Give me Doom. That's what I want, man. You know. I think me and Chris are really excited.
Yeah, I don't think we can match your guys' enthusiasm, so we don't even want to try.
Right. I encourage you watch the thing from QuakeCon. Watch
the whole thing, man. Oh my motherfucking God! All right.
No, and that music's back. That metal. Oh, it's great.
Over. It's over. You know, all right. Next up here, Mr. JD Gamer. I think you may, I don't recognize your name, so welcome, 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 man. All right, so his first question is, if you had to improve the PS4 lineup, what would you consider its weakest genre and what could be done to fix it? Very good question. I don't know how to answer this one. So what is the weakest genre? Because he's not talking about, he's talking about a genre.
Golf games.
Oh, table tennis games?
Well, yeah, I gotta say, there's they don't really have any other one. Man.
The weakest is not sports, you know.
Well, because I mean, we're are we only talking about first party, or are we talking about everything? Because
yeah, he said genres.
Yeah,
right?
He said lineup, so he didn't specify first or third party. You know?
Yeah, because I mean, I would have said maybe multiplayer games, but I mean, Call of Duty's in it. Like Battlefield is in it, so it's like,
By the way, Carlos, sorry to cut you off, but it's like people still cling to that. It's like, oh yeah, they don't really do multiplayer. Most multiplayer people are on PlayStation 4 this generation. You know, just getting that out there, just because of the sheer numbers. But anyway, keep going, man.
I don't know.
Phoenix Sound says hentai based visual novel.
Well, those are on Vita.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they probably are on Vita. I don't know. It has to be a genre that is not like is weak everywhere, because there's nothing that the other companies do that Microsoft doesn't. Yeah. No, actually, I got one. RTS.
Yeah, nobody really does that well except PC, though. So you know what? Let's fine tune it. Let's just stick with first party game. Like, where do you think they could actually bolster their lineup? Hussein,
puzzle games?
Yeah, Hussein, what's up, brother? He goes JRPGs and first person shooters.
Actually, JRPGs is a good answer because I don't think Sony has a like great first party JRPG lineup.
Do they have any?
They do. They actually did have some RPGs. You know, like Rogue Galaxy was a first party RPG.
Yeah.
That's right.
Is Nino Kuni first party?
No.
No.
Yeah. They need to bring back Legend of Dragoon.
Yeah,
that'll do it.
Yeah, RPGs. I agree with that. They need to bring those. They need to
Fantasy Star. Oh wait, that's Sega.
Oh, that's Sega. Sega. Don't cross the streams.
Damn it. Okay, Sony. Wait. So Legend of Dragoon, Rogue Galaxy, what did they have anything else?
That's all I could name.
Who made Dark Cloud?
That's also Sony as well.
Bring back Dark Cloud.
Is everybody's golf a Sony game? That's not, is it? That's
Hot Shots Golf? Yeah.
No, everybody's golf. Oh no, that's what
No, was that on Nintendo?
I don't know. We're not golf aficionados here, people, so sorry about that. Master Shake says, I still play Everybody's Golf on the regular, and Golf Story is great, too.
Oh, that's okay. A Golf Story.
Are those Sony games?
No, because Golf Story is on Switch right now.
Another Sony RPG is called, I'm going to fuck up this name, or Shaky Bloodlines. Never even heard of that. He says the golf games are first party, so there you go, man.
Yeah, it's a JRPG.
Yeah, I'm going with JRPGs.
Actually, RPGs in general, do they make another, like, what about Western RPGs? No. I don't think they make one.
No, not really.
Man, Sony needs to step their game up, man.
Yeah, man, fucking up, man.
Well, the game Rogue Galaxy did not do very well for them, and that's probably why they haven't invested in a big RPG like that in a long time.
Yeah. Hmm. All right.
Granted, Rogue Galaxy was also released at the tail end of the PlayStation 2 era, so
yeah,
that's the kiss of death
right there, man.
That's like the kiss of death. But here's the funny thing: God of War was also released in the twilight of the PlayStation. The two God of War games were also released in the twilight of the PlayStation.
Yeah, and those did very well. So you're right about that. He says Horizon may be the closest to an RPG, and that's not really an RPG either.
Yeah, you know? It just has some RPG elements.
Yeah, it's like if you're going to call Horizon an RPG, you might as well call it Duty 1, too, you know what I'm saying?
And God of War?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, most of the huge games have RPG elements now. It's like, but they're not really RPGs. They just incorporate things.
I know Sony's major games back in the day were platformers. They don't really mess with those anymore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they were perfected at so.
I mean, there was a
Little Big Planet.
Yeah,
there was a Ratchet and Clank game that came out this generation.
Yeah,
and it was also Knack was also considered a platformer.
My point is, they don't really need more platformers. They're already on lock there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess FPS Killzone. You know, we don't need to talk about Killzone.
Yeah, they haven't had with the exception of that last Killzone Shadowfall, there was no more first party.
Games like that. White Knight Chronicles. I almost forgot about that game.
White Knight Chronicles is a Square and Enix game.
So that doesn't count then. Square Enix. All right, that don't count then.
Resistance. That was second party, right?
Insomniac. Yeah. So we could count that.
That Sony owns that ship.
But wasn't that not a first person shooter?
It was.
Oh yeah, it was.
Third person.
It was
game.
Resistance is first person, dude.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. It was hard. It was never ever a third person.
It was supposed to be a Halo killer.
Yeah. Remember that era, by the way, where every FPS game was
Killzone's the Halo killer.
Remember that era? Every FPS game was the Halo killer, and every single one of them failed to be the Halo killer. And ironically enough, the Halo killer turned out to be Call of Duty. Ain't that about it, bitch?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm probably thinking of the Resistance game that was made for the Vita. I mean, a PlayStation Portable. Because that one was a third person one, I think.
Was it?
No.
No, it wasn't. That was first person too, dude.
I'm totally blanking out. I'm crazy.
I love that one. That was actually the best first person shooter they had on Vita, because that Call of Duty was horrible.
Hussein says White Knight Chronicles is a fantasy role playing video game developed by Level 5 and Square Enix and Sony Computer Entertainment Japan Studio and published by Sony. So no Square Enix at all then. Okay,
that I totally sense? Thought that was them. Well, my bad. Thanks
we fucking up tonight. You know, JRPGs. That's my answer. Make more JRPGs, Sony. You could do it. You're a Japanese company, man. Come on.
They don't have survival horror games.
Didn't they have MMOs at EverQuest or whatever, right?
They were supposed to come out with the new EverQuest.
Sony Online Entertainment.
Yeah, Sony Online Entertainment. They had that. Yeah, but you're right about that. They don't do those no more. They shut that shit down.
Yeah, Sony needs to step their game up.
Sony's just a horrible company, man. Don't buy their shit, man.
No one will hear that one.
You know? The guy wearing the Sony
somebody
hat.
Somebody hear about, you son of a bitch! How dare you!
Master Shake asks, isn't Death Stranding going to be survival horror? I don't think we even know what the hell
I don't know what that thing is.
It's a puzzle game, man.
It does look like it has sneaking aspects. It looks like it's an amalgam of everything.
Well, remember, they
it's a visual novel.
They said you can play the whole game without having any combat.
Survival horror could be that.
Yeah, it could be that, I mean, what do we call it? That game, I forget the name of it. It was you're in an insane asylum and you got to hide in a closet and shit. You can't fight back at all in that game. You know what I'm talking about, right? That game's like
Isolation, Alien Isolation.
No, not that one. What's the other one?
What's that game called?
You know what I'm talking about. It came out on, it was one of the first games on PlayStation.
With the camera?
No, what's the name of that fucking game? It was a first person game.
Moonwalker, Michael Jackson.
Moonwalker. You guys in the fucking chat, you'll tell me. You know, they made two of those fucking games.
Outlast,
there you go. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I said with the camera.
That's on point.
Man, you said Alien Isolation, motherfucker.
No, I said, yeah, and then after I said the one with the camera.
Yeah, the game with the camera. Yeah, no, you're right. It is a camera, but it's called Outlast. There you go. Thank you, guys.
Another survival horror is like an indie game. I forgot the hell it's called. It's like some little dude with a yellow trench coat thing.
Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
Little Nightmares. That's not an exclusive.
Yeah,
but
Little Nightmares. Yeah. Oh no. I was just gonna say it's like a survival.
That game does seem like a Sony first party though.
It did because it came out first and on the PlayStation.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's move on here. To the last question. Okay. So backwards compatibility is a definite thing. Do you think they'll do the forward compatibility or not?
You know what? I would think they would.
I think there's going to be a lot of cross-gen games like there was at the beginning of this generation, but after a certain amount of time, maybe 2 years, there won't be any.
Yeah, so I agree. Yeah, the first 2 years, there's going to be forward compatibility too. Just like, you know, I guarantee you Anthem's going to be one of those games. you know?
Yeah, I definitely think that a lot of the games that are released for the previous generation, they're going to be like that, but they're probably going to, being that this thing is, these new consoles are probably going to be fully backward compatible, there won't be that lead time. They might just say, no, these games are not, do not work on the new console. You know what I mean?
Down Phoenix brings up a good point here. He goes, I think it is possible we will see some limited forward compatibility for PS4 Pro, but not base PS4.
Yeah, it also is a possibility. That's a
possibility. I don't think so, but it's possible. But here's my question. I just thought about this right now. Okay, say you have like Anthem, right? What's it going to say on the box if it's on PS4 and PS5? What is that box going to look like?
It would probably say, that would be an interesting one too.
You see what I'm saying?
It's going to do what they always do. It's going to be color coded. They're going to color.
No, but that's what I'm saying. But what do you color it? Do you color it blue or whatever the fuck? I'm pretty sure PS5 is going to be blue as well. But what do you say on it? Do you have the PS4 logo or the PS5 logo?
I would say you'd have the PS5 logo and then put in small comparable to PS4 because you want to sell PS5.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a good point.
And scale back PS4.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
You put the PS5 big on there and then you flip it over. Also, that's what it'll be. It'll be a download. It'll be the PS4 version, right? But it'll be a download.
What do you mean?
Like some of them will do.
Well, all of them are downloads now, if you think about it.
You know what I mean. Like, in other words, like, if you want to play that one directly from the disc, they could do some crazy bullshit like that where it automatically downloads the PlayStation 3 version of it, or the PlayStation 4 version onto your old console.
Yeah, but again, like we said, since it's going to be x86 architecture, you only have to make the game once and just scale it up, you know?
What you do is, like, they would have to have some sort of tier system within it. Where, like, does the new PlayStation 5 or the Xbox function like the way the new, the Pro consoles, like a better version of the Pro consoles?
That's what I'm imagining, you know? But I don't think, PS5 exclusives are not going to be able to run on PS4. That's not going to happen, you know? Mm,
yeah. I think there's going to be a bit of a lockdown at some point where it's like they're going to probably do some of those transition, maybe do some of those transitional games where they'll continue to work for the previous one, but they'll look a world better on the new one.
Yeah. Right. Anybody else want to jump in on this?
And that means you can just store your old PlayStation and be like, pop the new one out.
That's
there.
It, man. Bam. Put that shit away, you know, maybe sell it. You could actually do that now, you know, since you have a machine that still plays all your old shit. You know,
there's always going to be
yeah. game or some games that just won't do it because the developers are no longer around or they don't have rights. Because I mean, that's the whole reason why we don't have Tony Hawk. It's because they would have to pay all those rights for all the music that was on that shit. And they were like, oh
yeah, that's a conversation we're going to have on Thursday about like, hey, you don't actually own this shit. You know, if they decide to pull it, that shit is done. You know. All right, I think that's pretty much it, unless you guys, want to say one more thing about forwards compatibility. Yeah. All right, I'm going to take that as a no, so we'll move on. I don't really have any more show notes here. We are coming up on episode 200 soon, people, so get ready for that. Episode 200 of both shows. It's going to be crazy, man.
It's going to be crazy.
You know, that's, so what is it going to be? September 6th is going to be Throwdown episode 200, and then September 9th is going to be episode 200 of Throwdown Your Questions. So it's going to be very interesting, to quote Mr. Richard Bailey Jr. So, Adam, you're fully back on WrestleCast now, right?
Yeah. We did another show on Friday. We're not canceled anymore. So
yeah.
So it came back.
Yeah, canceled no more.
You were, what do they say? You were re-signed for another season?
Yeah. That's it. We were renewed. You're nude. Four people came in. I was like, yo, I got 50 cents. I got this. I was like, yo, we're doing it. Making dreams come true. Pablo from San Juan.
You're crazy, bro. All right, man. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us your questions in the comment section of this episode here on YouTube or over on The Coalition, and we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Also on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, Facebook, and Periscope at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
See you later, party people.
and Adam Vale.
Yeah, have a good week, people.
All right, guys. Later.
Later, people.
Later, people.